patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
So something happened last week, buddy, that almost has never happened on the walk-off, which is you were so sick we couldn't do our Friday podcast. So for those of you out there who was arms in the air going, what the hell, guys, where was it? It was just Adam was on his deathbed. And we just wound up not being able to make it up. Like, by the time you were feeling well enough to do anything, it was time for long toss. And
yeah, just got away from us.
Just got away from us. But we're back, baby. Welcome, everybody, to the walk-off.
I have my own case of bad tacos. How's that?
Welcome, the best co-host in the biz. Fought through bad tacos. He's back. He's off the IL. Adam Mack.
Yeah. There you go. Nice to see you, buddy.
We got a really big show ahead of us here. Obviously, spring training in full force. Love to see it. Being able to wake up and watch some afternoon baseball. I think it's what most of us hardcore Jays fans have been waiting for all off season. Before we get to what we're talking about, I do want to do a quick tease for Monday as we have MLB.com's Keegan Mathison joining us. Nice. So if you would like to get some questions in for Keegan, this is your chance. Obviously, our DMs are always open. At Walk Off Podcast on Twitter, The Walk Off Podcast on Instagram. You can join the Discord if you're not already involved. We did have some infighting within the Discord. And so what we did is we kicked out the troublemakers. And now it's still open to everybody. However, you've got to come to us, DM us. We'll send you a Discord link and then you're in. Just remember, be respectful. There's people of all different kinds in there. So let's talk Blue Jays and not political science. Okay. Home run jacket. Going, gone, buddy. We'll talk a little bit about that. The Blue Jays TV numbers. Man, they were showing some of these spring training numbers and mind-blowing on how many Canadians are tuning in to baseball in early March. So we'll touch on that. Brandon Belt playing time seems to be a question mark and a point of contention amongst some of the fan base here. So we'll kind of delve in and see where he fits and where he's going to get his at-bats. We're going to talk about the rule changes. Now that it's a week in, I'm curious what everyone's thoughts are. So Adam, I'll throw to you on that and see what you're thinking. And I'll give my opinion. I know I've had some texts from some friends that kind of more casual baseball fans that are really into these rule changes. So I did want to touch on that. And then three reclamation projects. So we're going to touch on Cody Bellinger, Noah Syndergaard, and Brandon Belt, all of which had very down 2022 years, all of which could truly be difference makers if they can return to form for their current teams. And then we'll end on whatcha watching. Let's get into it, my friend. Home run jacket. It is gone. It is announced just the other day by the Toronto Blue Jays that it had a good run. They all enjoyed it, but it's time to move on. What are your first thoughts on this?
Have you heard what the replacement is?
No.
Bubble wands. Bubble wands through
bubble
the
dugout. Wand.
Yeah. Bubble wand party. No. I don't know. I really don't know how I feel about it being gone.
I feel like I don't care.
That's kind of where I'm at. Like, whatever. It is what it is. I know that's a boring take to tune into, but it is what it is.
There's so much rhetoric about, oh, this team is getting rid of the fun. It's about being serious and winning. And I mean, obviously, there's a little bit of truth to that. I think that this team is making a concerted effort on being more focused and being held accountable a little bit more. I mean, we've heard the players within the clubhouse bring it up. We've heard Vladdy bring it up. We've heard Bo Bichette talk about it. I mean, we watched Don Mattingly be added to this coaching staff. We've watched John Schneider come out and just talk about accountability which is something he didn't do last year. So I think that that is a focus, but I don't think that really has all that much to do with it, in my opinion. And I could be completely wrong here, man. But have you ever been the new guy in a class and you go in, or whatever it is, a new guy on the team, and you go in and everyone's got these inside jokes and they're talking about stuff that happened last year. And there's just like, you're just like, I don't feel a part of this at all. I just feel like an outsider looking in. And I really do think that more than any of the, we gotta be serious, it just has to do with that. They had a ton of new guys coming into the clubhouse this year, some new leaders. And I think they just wanted to change the dynamic of what they're doing for celebrations.
Look, we look back at the Donaldson, Batista, Encarnacion team as like an era of Blue Jays, right? Like, oh, that 2016 team was, right? Tulowitzki, Price, all those guys, right? I feel like this is a demarcation that we are entering a new era, right? A lot of the roster is going to be the same. Obviously, the core with Bo and Vlad and Jansen and Kirk, it is what it is, right? But we've brought in so much new personnel, both on the field, in the dugout, behind the scenes. James Click added recently.
Yeah.
This just feels like, okay, this is a new team. We are going to have new traditions that we are going to start together. Things are going to come up organically. We're all starting from zero together. So some of those old traditions, I think, look, we had our qualms about the home run jacket. I think everybody did. Some people loved it more than others. Some people hated it more than others. But ultimately, even if it was unanimously beloved, I think it was time to go. Just in in terms of like setting the tone that like, okay, we're moving forward together, right? That togetherness.
This is a new Blue Jays team, a new era. And with it comes, like you said, new traditions. And
bubble wands. I think, bubble wands for everyone, right?
I think you nailed it, right? It's going to come around organically. You know, Brandon Belt's going to put on his captain's hat and do a bubble wand. And then everyone, it's the home run captain bubble wand, right? Like,
exactly. Yeah, let's get that merch created. Walk off branded bubble wands. Get it in time for Easter. Okay.
Did you have anything to add for the home run jacket?
No, not at all.
I would love to hear from you, the viewer, what you think about this. Is this even anything? Like, it's funny. It's getting so much press and talked about so much. And here we are talking about it for 5 minutes. But like, I actually don't care. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think that it's sending any sort of messages within the clubhouse. I just think it was like, time to go, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. There will be a new tradition. There will be some new team bonding experience after a home run. We'll see how it gets implemented, but I'm sure it'll be something fun and exciting in its own way. So,
exactly. Someone will trip, fall on their knees, and then everyone's wearing knee pads. It's the home run knee pads. You
know? There you go. All right.
Okay. So I did want to bring up these television. We won't spend too much time on this, but I did want to bring up the television ratings for the Toronto Blue Jays spring training games, which are averaging well over 400,000 viewers per game, which I hope you folks know how absolutely insane those numbers are. To put it in perspective, the hockey trade deadline, right? They always make a huge deal out of this. And between TSN and Sportsnet, they are under 400,000 viewers for the trade deadline of the NHL in Canada. Right?
That's crazy.
There is some Blue Jays love bubbling within this country. And I mean, bubble you wand. Always hear, that's right, the bubble one. You always hear one team, one nation, right? And Blue Jays, for whatever reason, have just, because of the history and because of the marketing, have managed to be Canada's team. You know, hockey's so divided. It would be a cold day in hell I'd ever cheer for the Edmonton Oilers. I live in Alberta, right? Like, there's just rivalries that doesn't happen. When Vancouver went to the Stanley Cup Finals in 2010, buddy, I was rooting for Boston so hard. You just don't cheer for the Canucks if you're a Flames or an Oiler fan. Like, there's just rules, right? Like, you're a Habs fan.
Yeah.
Even if the Leafs, like, it would be a, like, it would never happen.
Zero chance.
But the Toronto Blue Jays have managed to kind of break through those regional rivalries.
So, first of all, I was blown away by these numbers. I mean, even just hearing 400,000 doesn't sound like much. Right? It's like not even a million people tuning in across the country. But then when, because you sent me this Twitter thread, I can't think of who the tweet was from.
Yeah.
But when you put in perspective that there's more people tuning in to these Blue Jays spring training games than the Dodgers or the Yankees were averaging.
Yeah.
All like it across the full season of last year. And it's like, it's kind of mind blowing that like the Yankees fans, there isn't even 300,000 Yankees fans watching the game on TV. That like was the craziest thing.
We're a mega market, man. Like this is a massive, massive market, and it's making sense seeing Rodgers dump the kind of money into this team that they're dumping in. I know there's still a portion of the fan base that is just like, they're never happy with the amount of money put in, but let's face it, man, they are well over the luxury tax threshold. Currently they are paying the taxes on this. I mean, they haven't hit the second level, but only a couple teams have, right? So the Blue Jays have put themselves into the top 20% spenders in the league. What more can you want? You're seeing the return on that investment in the viewership.
So we touched on this on Long Toss. The pitch clock, and we're going to talk rule changes and evaluate those coming up. So I don't want to spend too much time on this, but the idea that baseball games are second screen situations at best, other than playoffs. And I believe that applies to all sports, right? Any hockey game I have on, it's in the background while I'm cooking, while I'm doing homework, while I'm doing stuff. So with these numbers of like the Yankees, right? There's what, 10 million people in New York, and they can't get 500,000 people to tune in to a baseball game on TV. Of course, that is across all 162, right? Who's watching Yankees versus Red Sox? Those numbers are probably several million.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
Whereas when they're playing the A's on a Monday, I don't really need to watch that. Maybe zero watch it, right? So this, I guess, kind of for me gets back to that like baseball problem of, how do you get people to care about the game? Like it's enough to just see the highlights the next day. It's enough to just check the scores online. I don't know.
I think this is a natural transition into talking about the rule changes. And I say, we just do it. We'll talk Brandon Belt after. Yeah.
Okay.
I got a text from a buddy that I just want to read here, because we were talking about the pitch clock, and he was like, I love it. I absolutely love it. And then he wrote, it literally changed it, where baseball is something I would put on and kind of do my chores, to now I feel like I have to focus on the game. I don't want to miss anything.
No, that's a fake message.
Buddy, I will send you the screenshot. I will send you the screenshot. That is a real message from my buddy, Jason Cooper in Toronto. He's a baseball fan, but was always sort of like on the casual side of things. But that's literally exactly what Major League Baseball was attempting to do.
I don't know if I buy it. That's crazy, Scott. Isn't it?
Elaborate. What do you mean it's crazy?
The pitch clock has made such a big difference in the pace of play that all of a sudden now we're watching basketball games. It's just nonstop action. Don't want to miss anything.
I don't think that's what he was getting at. He just was comparing how much quicker the game is in comparison to what it was last year. Yeah, have you not felt it's substantially a faster pace?
Okay, yeah, but I've never gone to my phone in the middle of a baseball game because I had thought, oh, Dolis is going to take 42 seconds to pitch, so I have time to quickly send off an email. It's just been like, generally, even if there's rapid fire pitches and it's one every 7 seconds, I'm like, there's probably not going to be a hit on any of these pitches. Probably going to be a strikeout or a walk. If there is a hit, I'll look up. I'll hear it. I'll hear Buck going, and there's the crack of the bat. And I'll look up and be like, oh, sweet. Nice defensive play by Matt Chapman at third base. Wonderful.
Okay, well, I feel like there's a spectrum here, buddy. Like,
oh, I'm on the spectrum.
Obviously, not what I was saying.
Okay.
I just mean when it comes to attention span, obviously you can be less engaged or slightly more engaged or very engaged, right? It's not a black and white thing. I think that's all he was saying, is that obviously with a higher pace of play, it's going to keep your attention a little longer before you're like, ah, I need to send this email, right?
Where do you fall on this spectrum? Are you like, it seems like you're a huge fan of the pitch clock and this is revolutionary.
I mean, buddy, I'm a hardcore baseball fan. I really didn't care either way. I would watch baseball if they slowed the pace of play, but I know that I am the exception to the rule. And so to see people that wouldn't normally be engaged in baseball in early March texting me to say, you know what, this is pretty great. I know it's one person, all right?
It's so the sample better than, sizes,
but yes. Man, it's, I don't know. You're kind of poo-pooing on this more than I thought you would.
I don't know. I guess like the TV numbers have really kind of like made me reevaluate the fact that, or remember the fact that like baseball, just in terms of season length, and I know I'm going to get pooped on for this, but like 162 games, other than historical comparisons, if that means anything to you, scale it how you will. Of course it does, and it should, right? But there's reasons why it shouldn't matter. We don't have to get into those today. 162 games, too many games. It's too many games. I think for me, that would, if you told me there's going to be a pitch every 5 seconds, we're doing like a split multiverse situation here. Okay. There's one scenario in which we have 162 games, but there's a pitch every 4.5 seconds.
Okay.
Right. Or there's going to be 16 games in the regular season.
Right.
But there's going to be a pitch.
Universe. That's the universe with a black Spider-Man.
Exactly. So Miles Morales is in this multiverse. There's a pitch. There's 16 games, but there's a pitch every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm way more likely to watch the full 6-hour game that this 2-minute pitch is going to take if there's right. 16 and every game matters versus the one where it's like,
fan. That's I the know. Thing with football fans. They love give me all of the stress in a short time. And I'm like, let's dole the stress out over a long period of time.
No, it's just that the 162 breeds apathy where you go, okay, April, we're off to a hot start. Doesn't matter because May is going to wreck our season.
But I love the game of attrition. I love that it's like, yeah, does this game matter? Probably not. Let's move on, baby.
Right. But that's where 300,000 people tune into a Yankees game on average is because of that. Is because of like this series against the Oakland doesn't matter. We'll see how many home runs Aaron Judge hit. I can look that up on Google. We're probably going to win 2 out of 3. If we win 1 out of 3, meh, we'll make it up against the Marlins next week. It all kind of shakes out in the watch. That is the bigger problem with baseball. And I know people are going to just unsubscribe to this over my sentiment. How can you guys even be baseball covers? Blah.
Well, I mean, this is, we've talked about.
Do I have to give back my Blue Jays fan card right now? Is that what I have to do?
We've talked about this since we started this podcast, and both you and I have disagreed greatly on this. Should the season be short?
Give me 16 regular season games and 16 rounds of playoffs. That's what I want. One regular season game for every playoff team. That's what I want.
Okay, so let's count this as our pitch clock talk.
All right.
Let's talk no shift. One thing about the no shift that I've noticed, it is making way less of a difference than I originally anticipated. I mean, there's still some major shifting going on within the rules, right? You've got the triangle behind second base. You got to have your feet on the dirt, but you're still seeing third and short, like shift right over. You're still seeing the fielder shifting. It's just not to the extreme level it was last year. So I was prepared to hate the no shift because I really felt like as a hitter, if you can't adjust, I know baseball, hitting a ball is the hardest thing in the world. I just feel like if they're going to give you the left side of the infield and all you got to do is drop it down, you should be able to make them adjust and do it a few times so that they're at least pitching to you. But anyways, that's irrelevant. So I was all prepared to hate this. I'm completely indifferent. I don't know if it's changed anything other than maybe some left-handed hitters are going to get a few more hits. I don't think it's going to be as extreme as everyone was making it out to be. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't want to read too much into it during spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Until we have the regulars, the guys that are playing 150 games a year, and the analytics starts to adjust. Like, this might even be a thing that it takes a full season to just see what the new numbers are under these new rules. And then the adjustment happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I kind of throw my hands up in the air. Like, it's, I wasn't prepared to hate or dishate it. Like, that's the word I'm looking for. Dishate. A lot of dishatred in my heart. Love in my heart for the new rule changes. Yeah, I guess apathy is the word of the day that I'm bringing to the table.
Yeah.
It's just kind of, we'll see. Like, again, over 162 games, we'll see what the numbers are. If Joey Gallo's batting average is above 200, then I guess it worked, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I know with the bigger bases, we have seen a little bit more action on the base path. I think that teams are going to work out what works best for them. I've seen a little bit more.
Okay, but is it also just spring training?
How do I answer that? I don't know. Time will tell.
I know. I mean, like, are base stealing numbers up relative to spring training last year? I don't know. Is that something anybody tracks? Is there a baseball nerd out there that tracks spring training base stealing rates? I hope there is. I'm sure there is.
For this topic, I was like, well, it'll be fun to see what Adam and I think of the new rules that are basically, we're like, who knows?
Who knows? Who cares?
It's a weekend.
Look, let's just say hypothetically, because I don't have the numbers in front of me and I don't even know where to begin to look. Let's just say base stealing rates have skyrocketed this season. I still think that's a lot of just like Whit Merrifield and Espinal and whoever are trying these new bases out, right? And they're like, let's just steal every chance we get. See if it makes a difference.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. I'll just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just see what the pickoff limitations are. Let's see if it does matter. So even if the rates
they're testing the waters, right? They're seeing how it works. Yeah.
So again, it's early in the spring training, but let's just say by the end of spring training, stolen base attempts are up 85%, way more stealing compared to last year. It might come right back down to the average come regular season time.
That's a really good point. That right now, I think we are seeing an extreme amount of steal attempts. And I think a lot of it has to do with just like you said, right? Guys are testing the waters, man. They're seeing how it feels. They're seeing how much of a difference those bigger bases make, that extra few inches. I think that one thing that I was really kind of not expecting with the pickoff attempts and the pitch clock is the pitchers are really using it to their advantage too, right? Like, they're really able to hold these guys on a little longer, waiting for the pitch clock to go down. And that was one thing. I didn't expect it to affect the hitters and the base runners as much. I really thought that this was more going to be a learning curve for the pitchers. And as you watch the games, you're like, oh shit, no, this is something everyone has to become acclimated with, right? Mm-hmm. Acclimated with. So yeah, we'll see where it goes come regular season, but we are seeing some pretty wild stuff on the base paths. And I think that obviously that'll be reined in come the regular season. But so far, I honestly have nothing negative to say about the rule changes other than it is different. It has changed the game. The pace of play, I know I was reading just this morning that on average, baseball games so far in this first week are 21 minutes shorter than they were last year at this time, which is substantial.
No, it is. 21 minutes is good. It's a step in the right direction. Now they just got to shave 21 games off the regular season and we're all set. All right.
Agree to disagree. We'll move all on. Right. I do want to talk some Brandon Belt, of course, our $11 million pickup in free agency, the big lefty bat that this team has been coveting for years. Positional versatility is a question mark when it comes to Brandon Belt. And I mean, we haven't seen him in a spring training game yet, which is nothing to worry about. This is something that he has done the last few years with his bum knee. And I know that the Blue Jays organization is very cognizant of that and are easing him in very much like an old man into a warm bath, right? Get him in there nice and slow. Let's not cause any injuries off the top. So he hasn't even taken a swing in a game yet. It's probably a week or two away from him doing so. But I know that with this said, there's a lot of Jays fans who, for lack of a better term, are worried. Where is Belt going to get his at-bats? Is this going to diminish the amount of ABs Alejandro Kirk is going to get? Alejandro Kirk, of course, his baby finally born. So he's back in camp now. And I mean, these are all Papa Kirk. Congrats to him. These are all valid questions. I feel like it's all going to work out. I mean, Brandon Belt plays a little bit of first base, which he would be able to, when Vladdy's DHing, you know, take over there. Depending on how his knee feels, Brandon Belt can play a slightly below average left field. So if it is an option to get a guy like Bershaw off his feet or Springer off his feet and do some shuffling around the outfield and get Brandon Belt in there. I don't think we're going to see Belt play much outfield, but it wouldn't shock me to see him get 10 games in left field this year. That's not crazy. And then if he's playing, let's say 10 at first, right? Vladdy, he's getting older. He's still 24. He's still a baby, right? Jeez. Like we get, yeah. But you know, when you're in a contention window, I think it is important to give your stars the odd day off. And that is something that we haven't really seen with Vladdy. And I think we are going to see it a little bit more this season because the depth is there. I think we're going to see it with Bichette a little bit more. I mean, he's a guy who's played, 159 games each of the last three seasons or something like that. I think we're going to see that scaled down just a bit. It's not going to be massive, but you know, instead of 159, he plays 150. He's feeling a little bit better come playoff time. So when it comes to Brandon Belt, are you concerned at all about at-bats?
Not even a little bit. Like, he's going
to...
Worst
case, it's a big bat off the bench, man. Like,
well, worst case scenario, he's nothing.
Yeah.
And we spent a few million bucks to get him. That, again, because we're a luxury tax team, we're over the threshold. Like, this... He didn't take anybody else's spot. He wasn't the difference between us getting Carlos Rodon or not. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't pass up on any other top flight starting pitchers because we're like, oh, we got to save money for Brandon Belt. So like, honestly, worst case scenario, he's nothing, literally nothing. And it's like, well, okay. It's like Ryu. It's just whatever we get out of Brandon Belt is amazing. right?
Yeah.
As far as playing time goes, I do see that, yeah, once the season starts, he's, I would say, probably our quote unquote full-time everyday DH. As far as Alejandro Kirk goes, 50 games at DH for him last year, 78 at catcher. So about 200 at bats as a DH for Alejandro Kirk.
There is probably going to be less DH time available, but again, I really do believe that the season will play out as it plays out. The guys who are hitting are going to be given at bats, and there is going to be a little bit of competition for those ABs. And I don't think that's a bad thing.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all. I think with Alejandro Kirk, you and me were both surprised when we look at his splits as a catcher versus as a DH. He actually, his numbers are better when he's a catcher. We thought maybe when he didn't have to worry about squatting behind the plate, his bat would be better, but that is actually not the case. Which I guess we kind of figured,
which is funny, because this is something that we see with young players, right? They are more engaged when they're on both sides of the field, right? It is a tough thing to do. And it's why, you know what, man, Brandon Belt at DH at 34 years old with the kind of hitting experience he has is probably going to see an increase in production in that position. And Kirk was great there.
Well, I think too with Kirk, if let's just say we're going to get the same amount of catching games that we got out of Kirk last year, so 78. But instead of DHing 51 times, he DHs 25 times. Maybe the 78 that he's catching are that much better. Like maybe just having a true day off once he is behind the plate again in catcher's gear, it's just like, oh yeah, he's rejuvenated. He's fresh. He's ready to go. As opposed to last season where it was like, well, he just caught twice in a row. We need to give him a day off, but we can't give him a full day off. DH him. And then when he's back to catcher, it's like, well, he's not back to 100%. You know, he's back to like 95%. And then the next time through, he's not back to 95%. He's back to 90%. And then the next time through, he's back to 85%. And it's just, you know, it wears on him over the course of the year. So maybe having a full day, an actual day off, will get him back to 100% more often.
I mean, this may even be part of the strategy, right? I think that anyone who is an NBA fan or watched or followed the Raptors in 2019 to their championship, load management.
Ugh, hate that word, don't you?
Was the buzzword of the year, right? But I think that there is some value in giving your best players a little bit of time off to recover from the wear and tear, especially in baseball. My God, you just talked about 162 games. Like, it is a grind, right? And so for a guy like Alejandro Kirk to maybe take a few more games off, yes, from the outside looking in, maybe that's a little bit frustrating. You're like, we got to get his bat in there. But maybe in the long run, it truly does lead to more production because he's just feeling healthier, his body is responding better, and he's more prepared to get up there and go every single game that he's on the field.
What you just said could have exactly applied to George Springer as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Where,
and I think we're going to see it apply to George Springer.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm optimistic. This is where, dude, but
it wouldn't shock me if we saw Brandon Belt play 30 games in left field. I know I just said probably 10, but like, who knows, man? Maybe getting Springer off his feet more is something that we're really going to see, and it could surprise us as to how they wind up doing it. But I think guys are going to get their at-bats, man.
Yeah, that's what you touched on earlier, and that's the nice thing with the – I mean, where are these at-bats going to come from is a great problem to have.
Yes.
It's so much better than like, oh, he's going out there.
At the Oakland A's.
We got Bradley Zimmer again. You know, so
why do we got to give this guy a bat?
Yeah. So no, this is for real a good problem to have. Hot hand will for sure be a factor, right? Like, I mean, we talked, could Addison Barger take Kevin Biggio's spot? For all we know, Kevin Biggio adjusts nicely. He's healthy and he's hitting, you know, 285 this year. And is like, oh, we got to get him in the outfield more. Never mind Brandon Belt in left field. We got to put Cavan in left field. Give George a day off so Cavan can go play. Like, that's a real possibility. Or Whit Merrifield, or like, you know, if Espinal's playing all-star level second base, and we're like, well, we need Whit Merrifield speed and dynamism, dynamicness.
Sure, roll with it. Let's Rick,
just, stop.
It's a real word, guys.
Yeah. All right. Take the L. A lot of dishate for my word usage today. But no, that's the thing, right? Is you go, oh, okay, yeah, let's get him in there more because they're just too good right now, you know?
And we haven't even brought up Addison Barger. So, I mean, there is going to be some competition for at-bats. And again, this is just good news for the Jays. If you're a fan, I wouldn't worry about it. I think it's going to all work out, and it's going to work out in the positive.
Absolutely.
Anything to add there?
Not even one.
Okay, I think we covered it. Let's talk reclamation, domination. A lot of these teams have taken flyers on guys with some really high ceilings. I know the three I'm thinking of is Chicago Cubs with Cody Bellinger, Los Angeles Dodgers with Noah Syndergaard, and the Toronto Blue Jays with Brandon Belt. So let's start with Bellinger. His numbers over the last year have not been impressive. I know you've got those up right now, Adam. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, batting average 210, slugging percentage 389, OPS 654. Nothing there gets you excited. Over the last 3 years, his numbers have been bad. OPS 648, batting average 203 over the last 3 years of his career. Over the first 3 years of his career, batting average 278, slugging percentage 559, good for an OPS of 928, an OPS plus of 144. This is why he was a rookie of the year, MVP, gold glove, silver slugger, all of it. So the ceiling is undeniably there for the 27-year-old Cody Bellinger.
And you kind of nailed it there with the age. That is the one shining bright spot, is that he is still very young. Let's face it, there's a lot of guys who don't even get a sniff at the MLB at MLB before the age of 25. So he's young.
Okay, you corrected yourself there. You said the MLB and then you said, sorry, MLB. Can we talk that for 1 second? Why does it matter?
Because if you, the Major League Baseball is what I'm actually saying when I say MLB, and it just sounds stupid. So I mean Major League Baseball, but I throw that at the front of it.
Do you correct? Sometimes. Are you allowed to say the Toronto Blue Jays, or is it only Toronto Blue Jays? Vladdy plays for Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah, the Toronto Blue Jays. But that's different.
What's the difference? The
Major League Baseball.
Why? Why does it matter?
I don't think it matters. There's just people out there that it gets under their skin. It's like when people say back catcher, that actually drives me nuts. It's just catcher. There's no such thing as a back catcher. But that was one thing my dad would always get on me. I'd be like, I'm going to play back catcher. And he's like, it's catcher, you idiot. I'm like, well, he wouldn't say idiot, but you know, it was implied.
All right. We're going to have to spend some time. I got to think about this, but it annoys me more when people correct themselves about the MLB. So if you play in the MLB, or the MLB is fixing the baseball problem, I'm triggered right now.
All right. We're going to get comments on this.
People are going to say it's grammar, you idiot. It's because of grammar.
Yeah. Which is probably true.
probably true, but it's also idiots like overthinking things that like don't understand. Anyways, they're like misapplying one piece of reasoning or logic to a circumstance that doesn't actually, anyways, we're okay. Reclamation projects.
You just hate this. I guess.
Can you guys see the smoke coming out of my ears right now? Like a Popeye's character.
I just think that Cody Bellinger, new scenery, Chicago Cubs, 1 year deal where he's got to prove himself. There's some real upside there. Former World Series MVP, former MVP. I mean, the kid has definitely.
Do you say the NHL or do you say NHL?
Yeah, I say the NHL, of course, the National Hockey League. That's the different National than Hockey Major League Baseball. The Major League Baseball sounds so stupid.
But I would never say the Major League Baseball, but I would say the MLB. Why is that?
Of course. Well, it's the abbreviation. Anyways, we are completely derailed here. This is so irrelevant.
Sorry. This okay. is all going to end up on the cutting room floor. It's fine.
We all know that you're lying and it will not.
Of course. Of course.
Okay. So thoughts on Cody Bellinger. What do you think? Do you think he's going to be a contributor with the Chicago Cubs? Do you think that he's going to resurrect his career?
I wanted him so bad to contribute to our team this year.
Mm-hmm.
He was like my number one. This guy could win an MVP and be a steal of the free agency period. Yeah, I think he's going to have a great season with the Chicago Cubs. Sorry, with Chicago Cubs. he's going to hit like 280 plus. Like, I think he's going to be back to his MVP form. I think he's going to be 30 plus home runs, a batting average that is like very impressive, whatever numbers that might be. I think he has a positive OPS plus this year.
I like I'll say that. I like that prediction. I like that prediction. I he kind of has to at this point. He's sort of played himself into a scenario where, yeah, he managed to get one more big deal. You know, I think the Cubs are paying him, what is it, 18 million, 19 million, something like that. Just something slightly
above. 17 and a half million, 1 year deal. So it is a...
Right, 17 and a half. It's like, a decent it's a decent deal, but
he's a bad year away from a $10 million contract for the rest of his career. Maybe.
He's a bad year away from being a bench player, dude. I mean,
you think so?
Why would you keep throwing him out there for ABs? Obviously, you know, he's Bradley Zimmer at this point.
No, Bradley Zimmer's never won an MVP or rookie of the year. Look, this is why he's going to get it. No matter how bad he is, if he hits under 200 this year, he's still going to get 10 million next year because someone will still look at that potential. It's the reason there's bidding wars for Yusei Kikuchi, right? Like there's that, oh, I think I can fix this guy. That hubris that all management groups have that, oh, no, they're misusing Cody Bellinger. We have the magic recipe to bring back that MVP season. 10 million bucks, we can get it. We can get him back there. And then what a steal it's going to be.
Maybe. Maybe his track record in the past has done enough where he has 2 years of rope. But I don't know. I think he's got to put up some numbers at the plate this year.
I mean, if he wants a big deal. Yeah, look, if he hits 35 home runs this year and has a batting average...
Oh, he's completely
whatever.
He's completely saved his value. Absolutely.
Now he's looking at a 10-year, maybe $250 to $300 million deal.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah.
Wow. Wow. Just this is a guy who has won an MVP and is only going to be 28 years old.
Yeah, but.
I mean, and he's shown that he's back. I mean, if he can do it over 162 games, there's going to be a bidding war for Cody Bellinger, I think is the theory. And I would buy into that.
Defensively, he's a stud. Like he's defensively, one of the best he's a stud. Center fielders in baseball for sure.
So, with Cody Bellinger, if he has a bad season, he's still going to get $10 million a year until he's on the wrong side of 30. Maybe. Once he's 31 and he continues to suck, I think then the money goes away. Then now he's a bench piece. But I don't know. That's The early resume on his career is so good.
It really is.
And it just disappeared for... Anyways.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. It is going to be interesting to see what happens. I think if he shits the bed this year, I don't think there's $10 million waiting for him. I think there's a major league contract waiting for him. But I don't know if he's going to get everyday play until he shows that he's that guy. But let's move on here.
Sure.
Because Cody Bellinger is the... the outlier here because he hasn't it hasn't been injuries that has really knocked him off, or at least last season he was pretty healthy. He has gone through a little bit of an injury problem, but last year he was pretty much 100%.
Sure.
Noah Syndergaard, on the other hand, coming off Tommy John surgery, signed with the Los Angeles Angels in 2022. He wasn't incredible by any means. He was passable. wound up joining the Phillies at the trade deadline. If you go through the history of pitchers with Tommy John surgery, their second year back is almost unanimously better than their first year back from the surgery. And I think expecting 30-year-old, he's 30 now, right? Syndergaard, you want to quickly look that up for me? But yeah, anyway,
he is 30. Yep.
Yeah. So to expect 30-year-old Noah Syndergaard after a year removed from his TJ surgery to not maybe not return to where he was as a stud at 25, but I think he's going to be a very serviceable number three pitcher, number four pitcher in that Dodgers rotation. And the nice thing with the Dodgers is that the pressure is off a little bit. They've got some studs in that rotation that can kind of shelter him as he gets his feet under him. I think he's going to be a really interesting project to watch going forward. And I mean, I know you've got his numbers for last year up here too. I'd love to delve into that a little bit.
Yeah, numbers from last year. 134 innings pitched, coming back from Tommy John. Whip of 1.25 and an ERA just under 4 at 3.94. Strikeouts per nine, lower than you'd like to see. It was 6.3. The walks were 2.1, so right around his career average. Strikeouts were down.
I think we're going to see strikeouts up to one a game again. And I think that his velo is going to increase a little bit, which is something that you see quite regularly with Tommy John pitchers. Noah Syndergaard really is, to me, one of the biggest question marks coming into this season, because he has a track record of being dominant. Last year, the fact he was able to get out there and pitch almost 140 innings, I think we're going to see an increase on that, probably hit around 160. Again, he's very comfortable in LA. I think it's why he went back there, the warm weather, you know, especially after a surgery. You're just feeling looser. You're feeling better. And I'm going to predict that he does have a much better season than last year, even though last year wasn't one of those ones where you were like, yuck, gross. But I think we can see him around a 3.5 ERA. I think his whip is going to decrease substantially. I think he's probably going to be around a 1.1. And I think that his strikeouts are going to go up. And I think it's going to be look like a really smart signing by the Los Angeles Dodgers.
I'm right there with you, man. I think sky's the limit for Noah Syndergaard. Definitely a good bounce back candidate for sure. So let's end then with Brandon Belt of the Blue Jays.
Yes. Now, we did just talk Brandon Belt, but let's talk about last year and the struggles he faced as he basically was on one knee and played. I mean, no, you've got the stats here. Rather than me guessing how many games he played,
78 games last year.
So half a season. He basically played half a season.
So, okay, let's just historical look. 2019 played 156 games. 2020 played 51 games. That is the COVID lockout season. Finished 16th in MVP voting. Interesting. And then since then, 97 games last year and 78. I guess last year is now 2022. So, boy, did I ever muddy that up, didn't I? The last two seasons, 97 in 2021 and fuck's sake. I'm going to try this again. All right.
You just hate this.
As I start, you're stepping on me, Scott. We're out of sync here. Okay. Dating back to 2019, played 156 games, 16th in MVP. Fuck's sake. Oh my God. This whole thing is getting cut. I need a coffee and a vodka, a non-alcoholic vodka. Is that a thing? Okay. Yeah, he hasn't played much the last two seasons. That's the takeaway.
97 games in 2021 and then 78 last year, correct?
Yeah.
He's been on a bum knee. He finally had surgery. And I know that in the press conference to start spring training, one of the things Brandon Belt touched on was the fact he's feeling the most healthy he's felt since 2019. This is good news for the Toronto Blue Jays. I know that if he can recapture what he was doing in 2021 before he got shut down, his 2021 numbers were excellent despite only playing 97 games.
Mm-hmm.
if you want to quickly touch on that.
274 batting average, 975 OPS. OPS plus 160.
Like, you take that every single day.
Yeah.
If that's the production you're going to get. And even if it's a slight step down from that, that is a huge win for the Toronto Blue Jays, who have struggled to fill their lineup with solid left-handed bats, which is exactly what Brandon Belt is. So if Brandon Belt can return to those numbers we saw in 2021, I know his numbers took a pretty big dip last year, and a lot of it was he was hobbled, man. He was playing on one leg. So health is a big thing, especially at the age of 34, which is what Brandon Belt sits at right now. And I think that just being able to massage the load management, I know you hate that term, but you know, you've got a lot of options. We just talked about, where is he going to get his ABs? Well, you know what? If they've got to ease Brandon Belt in the first third of the season, you know, if those first 60 games of the year, we see Brandon Belt play 40, it's going to really allow him to play more at the end of the season when it's the most important for this team. I'm excited about Brandon Belt. This could be a homer take, but I really do think that he is going to be a major contributor to this Toronto Blue Jays team. And I think that come the end of the season, we're all going to be banging the gong to bring him back for another season. I think that he's going to be really good for this team.
Well, also worth noting, 37 playoff games. So some playoff experience there.
Absolutely. Something that this organization has gone out of their way to accumulate over the last year or two. So I think Brandon Belt is an excellent addition. I think that he's going to have a really big season. And I mean, good news for us Jays fans if he does, obviously.
Big time.
Anything to add?
Nope. I'm stumbling my way through across the finish line. So.
All right. Well, that is the show. We will end on whatcha watching. I know that a couple months ago, we had some people reach out being like, hey, guys, any advice on television to watch? That's the thing with being a road comic, right, is I've got so much downtime that I do wind up, you know, probably watching more Netflix than I should in my hotel room or on the road. So what are you watching right now, buddy?
Right now, I am working on The Last of Us on HBO.
Nice. That's what I was going to bring up. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Well, in addition to that, got my daughter
in Calgary, by the way,
and Edmonton and Canmore, all and over Edmonton. Alberta.
Yeah.
Alberta. So sticking with the Pedro Pascal, The Mandalorian season 3 is out. I think episode 1 was this week. I watched the first season of The Mandalorian with my daughter. Didn't even realize a second season had come out. Saw the ads for season 3 and realized, oh, we have a whole season of The Mandalorian to watch. So that's what we're going to be binging this weekend. I think that kind of speaks again to the problem of, you know, baseball's running into with attention span. There's so many options, right? Like, yeah. I loved The Mandalorian season 1. And to think that 2 years just went by, I didn't even realize there was a second season of it because I had so many options of what to watch.
I know.
So I'll be watching Mandalorian season 2 with Blue Jays spring training games on in the background. How's that sound?
Yeah. Yeah, no, Last of Us I've really been enjoying, and it's kind of cool too to be like, hey, that's like 10 blocks from my house.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. It's The Last of Us. Check it out if you haven't. Okay. Let's wrap up there, my friend.
I started watching The Last of Us by myself. Begged so hard to get my wife into it. Not interested. Finally got her to try it out once we ran out of Yellowstone episodes. She's like, okay, fine. So I had to rewatch the first couple episodes again. By the time we got through episode 3, that was the Bill and Frank episode, which I won't, no spoilers, but my wife was like in love with the show. She's like, this isn't even a zombie show. What? Like, why did you sell this as a zombie show to me? And then we watched season 4 and she was like, this is a zombie show. And I was like, yeah, sorry, sweetheart. It's a zombie show. So
yeah,
it's every episode is a little different, though. It's really good. Really good. Really happy with it.
You know what's funny is that Taylor, my wife, was like, let's watch Last of Us. And then as it's starting, I had no idea what it was about. I don't video games, so I had no freaking idea, right? I was just like out of it. And like 2 minutes in, she's like, brings up zombies. And I was so mad. I'm like, why are you telling me there's zombies? And she's like, because the whole thing's a zombie. Like, what do you mean? I didn't spoil a thing.
Amazing. Nice.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up there. Thank you so much to everyone who is stuck with us right to the end. Of course, we really appreciate this walk-off community. You guys are the best. Feel free to hit the like button. Feel free to subscribe if you have yet to do so. Obviously, a big tip of the hat to our audio listeners. Man, our audio listeners are literally starting to get to the point where they're catching up to our YouTube numbers, which I didn't think was even going to be possible, as it was like 30-1 only like a year ago. And now it's, you know,
yeah,
3-1.
It's pretty good. So
yeah, so thank you.
All right.
Okay, everybody, take care. We'll talk to you Sunday for long toss. We have a doozy of a long toss. Of course, that goes live at 6 East to 8 East. We'll see you then. Cheers.
Okay. Cheers. Bye, Dad.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack. With a new episode every Friday.
Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to picture. Long move.
Thanks for listening.